Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 119. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow, and joining me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. John, happy Father's Day, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. I was going to say, this is a good week.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm letting the cat out of the bag, if so to speak, but John, you're a future father-to-be, correct? Is that fair to say?
Yep, I'll be on leave here in a couple weeks, so hopefully you can wrangle up some good guest co-hosts.
Yeah, man, we're having a really good string right now. You know, I think it's going to continue when you go on vacation, hopefully, but we've been getting great guests. We've been having great conversations. I mean, last week we had Jad Elzine on talking about the self-driving data center, and that was pretty exciting because it got us talking about machine learning and some of the new technology that VMware is doing, and I think this one complements that episode, so to speak. We've got two experts on here today. We're going to be talking about use cases for GPU. Nice. And yeah, absolutely. And
I'm actually using my GPU right now, Pete.
Yeah, good
point.
You
know why? Because it actually got into the 60s last night. It's still rather cold in my office. And so I fired up some crypto mining. I don't actually care about whatever it's mining. I just wanted to heat my office. So.
I like it. All right, well, John, two guys that are no stranger to the podcast, two great guys. The first one I'm going to introduce, he's new to VMware, but he's certainly not new to VMware technology, Mr. Niels Haugaard. Niels, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Hi, man. Glad to be back.
Yeah, let's see. For those of you that don't recognize Niels, for one, he's co-authored several books, the Host Resources Deep Dive with Frank Deneman, among others. He's always doing the deep dive session for vSphere at VMware, and now he's part of our CPBU, our cloud platform business unit. So, hey, officially, welcome to VMware.
Thank you.
Awesome. And also, not new to the podcast, is a partner for VMware over at ITQ Consultancy, Johan von Amersfoort, also an author of a book that we've talked about before, The VDI Design Guide. So, Johan, welcome back, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
I like your shirt, man. You are a sharp-dressed man today.
Awesome. Always virtually speaking love here.
I love it. For those of you that know Johan and Niels, you probably know what we're talking about today. Obviously, you know, these guys are serious, man. They've been blogging, they've been presenting, they've been doing light boards. If you follow these guys, then you've probably had a lot of really great conversations with them around some of the use cases with vGPUs and what people are using today with VMware technology. So, gentlemen, let's just start with the basics here. You guys have been writing a lot about GPU architecture and some of the differences between CPU and GPU. Is that a fair place to start to sort of set the foundation? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. It is an interesting piece of hardware acceleration, right? And we kind of missed out on that in the Host Resources Deep Dive book because there's nothing about GPU included. Luckily, yeah. Johan filled in that gap. And listening to Jad's episode that you recently recorded, he was talking about all the basics when it comes to machine learning, deep neural networks, etc., right? And, well, we can obviously do those computations using a CPU, but a CPU is not really designed for that.
Yeah.
Those types of workloads, right? And so people are talking about GPU. Well, that kind of made me wondering, so why do we actually need a GPU, right? I know it's better, but why is it better? So I started digging a little bit into the actual architecture of a CPU versus a GPU. And I guess the basic thing is when you look at both architectures from a really high overview, it's about CPU cores, right? Or GPU cores for this in this matter. So the number of cores. And we took it from there and went through the whole scheduler and how workloads are scheduled against a GPU instead of a CPU. Because a CPU is all about latency and workloads and basically shifting between multiple applications running on top of it while having the lowest amount of latency.
Oh yeah.
And you can see that if you look at the memory constructs in the CPU as well. If you look at the CPU core, again, really high overview because it does matter what make or model it is, right? But you see a L1 cache, you have L1 cache for data, for instruction, you have L2 cache, and those cache constructs are bound to a CPU core. So you also have a level 3 or last level cache, and that is shared amongst cores. But it's all about that really quick data access for a CPU to continuously keep on going and at the lowest latency possible. Well, on the other end, yeah, applications are scheduled on a core, right? And obviously we do have hyper-threading, but looking at the GPU, we see a lot of cores are packaged together, again, depending on make and model, packaged together in processing clusters or streaming multiprocessors. And well, Johan can take this a little bit more into the application, but applications can be scheduled against a lot of cores simultaneously. Now, that is throughput for you, right? Because the CPU, all about latency, GPU, all about throughput. How do we get this calculation on this data set, how do we get to compute that in the fastest way, right? So it's all about keeping those cores busy. And I think that's really interesting. And that is why we basically need GPUs for workloads like machine learning. It's not only about VDI, right?
Yeah, and as an addition to that, so CPU processing is all about sequential processing, while GPU processing is all about parallelism. So that's one of the other differences as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it technically the same hardware, but just architectured differently? Like with a CPU versus a GPU? We're talking about an NVIDIA as an example. Like it's using the same material, but it's basically designed for different use cases?
No. Well, the difference is basically an instruction set. So a CPU basically is able to calculate anything. So any type of workload is able to run on top of a CPU, while GPUs have a less complex instruction set, are able to calculate some specific things and really good at doing that specific thing. And I think that's the main difference. So all of these cores are tiny, use less power, but because they are doing just something specific, they're able to calculate the result on a much faster pace as well.
Yeah, like a motorcycle versus a Camry. So, you know.
Yeah, well, sort of. And if you look at, well, a flagship offering of NVIDIA, for example, the V100, and I'm not sure if that is actually the latest model, Johan, but
yeah, it is.
We're talking about thousands of CUDA cores that are packaged in one single GPU device. Instead of looking at a flagship offering from both Intel or AMD, we are talking about 28 cores to 32 cores per CPU package. So yeah, there's a massive difference in architecture and again, the number of cores and how the memory is set up.
Well, in that memory, they're using DDR5. So I've noticed the video cards tend to be one generation ahead because it looks like they're just trying to get raw throughput in and out to all those tiny little single focused cores.
Exactly. That's the main difference again, because with CPU, we are still using DDR4, right? So we're kind of catching up to the GPU game, I guess.
All right. Well, so I did watch your video. It was very informative, the light board that you guys did. And one of the topics that came up that I was very curious about was how this looks in a real data center, like using things like vMotion, for example. So if I'm setting up an environment that needs to use a GPU, you know, if I have certain virtual machines that need to use a GPU, can I distribute that across? Do I have GPUs on every single host? And then just like every other VM, I can do HA and vMotion and DRS and failover, and that's just invisible to the administrator or to the application user?
Yes, but there's always a but. We are working towards more closer integration with GPU devices. As you well know, with vSphere, we are always able to really quickly expose a PCIe device like a GPU to a virtual workload using pass-through, right? Direct path IO. But that comes with a lot of constraints. So looking at GPU, we do have some collaboration with NVIDIA, for example. For vSphere, we co-developed NVIDIA Grid. And by doing so, we now have far more options on actual sharing a GPU device between multiple virtual machines. Because with Direct Path IO, it's always a one-to-one relationship. So that is something that we recently built into the product, into vSphere. And we do have vMotion support. And I know Johan actually did a really cool vMotion demo, right, Johan?
Yeah, so I've been presenting on a project I've been working on for the last 6 months on VDI by day, compute by night. And one of the essential things, especially for data scientists, is to be able to vMotion a VM that is running a calculation to another host in case of hardware maintenance, for instance. Oh, if yeah. I'm running a, yeah, if I'm running a calculation that would run for at least like 36 hours, and my IT admin decides to take out my host on which the VM was running, I'd probably be pissed if that would like be happening after 33 hours. So yeah, vMotion, vGPU, vMotion specifically to those use cases are great. It's like seeing your first vMotion again.
That reminds me of, I think it was Duncan or someone, you know, asking like, remember when you saw your first vMotion? You know, there's like this blog you had, there's all these stories of that. So let's talk about kind of VM placement. I remember before when I was working on a VDI project with GPUs, the actual GPU itself, there was some type of time slicing. It was like normal. But the actual memory buffers, they were fixed allocated. There was no oversubscription of them. And based on the size, there was this kind of like bucket concept. Can you kind of explain what's going on there and if any of that's changed?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way you mentioned it is completely correct. So a GPU has physical frame buffer, physical video memory, and it has a GPU with cores. The cores are actually being scheduled. So there's a scheduler like a hypervisor between the physical core and the VMs that are utilizing a vGPU. And that is constantly rescheduling the workloads. First of all, that scheduler process is not being known at this moment by DRS. So DRS doesn't really know what is happening by the scheduler. Another thing is, and that's, you mentioned that correctly, is that the physical video memory is being sliced and being offered, fully allocated to a VM. So I could, for instance, on a Tesla T4 that has 16 gigs of frame buffer, I could either divide it by 16, so have 16 times 1 gigabyte of frame buffer for a session, or twice 8 gigs, one times 16 gigs, and that's fully allocated. So you're not able to over-provision that memory. Both the memory part as well as the computational part, that's not being noticed by DRS in any case at this moment.
Oh, okay. And so is the scheduler that's outside of VM, or is this another piece of software that manages the scheduling?
Yeah, so that's, well, when you install the vGPU scheduler on a host, it's basically the install with the VIP. So you install the driver.
Yeah.
The CPU scheduler is installed on top of that. And that's a separate process that runs next to the hypervisor.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a VIP, I remember. Now you can have, so just to be clear, you can have, I could have a VM that's using 512 megabytes of buffer and another one with 128 on the same GPU, right?
Well, you cannot do that on the same GPU, but you can do that on the same card. So
there's multiple GPUs on a card.
Yeah, up till the Maxwell architecture, which had the Maxwell M10 and the M60 cards, those cards had multiple GPUs on the same card. And you could just have different types of profiles on that same card. With the newer architectures that just have a single GPU on them, you're not able to do that. You could, however, do that on the same host if you have multiple cards. So if I have four Tesla T4s in a single host, I could, for instance, use two of these T4s to have a 4 gig frame buffer profile assigned to a VM. And the other two cards, I could use them with a 1 gig frame buffer profile, for instance.
Okay.
What are some of the more common use cases that you see people using, Niels?
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to highlight that we do see a lot of traction with HPC and ML workloads running on vSphere, because I guess that's sort of the main challenge we have nowadays. I do see a lot of customers, and I'm not sure if Johan has the same experience, that are using high-performance computing platforms, but are still running on physical hosts. So it's sort of, when you talk to data scientists, it's like going 10, 15 years back in time when we had the same discussion about virtualization for your general IT applications, right? Yeah. So now with vSphere, and we have a lot more options to provide those and expose those hardware pieces to the virtual machines, we do now see a lot of traction for HPC and machine learning, deep learning, whatever workloads running on top of vSphere.
So we've got this HPC, this high performance computing new category, if you will. And we're back to the days of people saying, oh, that needs to be on physical. So
yes, okay. Exactly.
Boy, talk about history repeating itself, huh? So we now need to reestablish some credibility and say, yes, this can definitely be and there are benefits to doing this on virtualization.
Yeah, and in the extent of that, we also have that option. Like we talked about, DirectPath.io, that's a one-to-one relationship, PCIe device and a VM. But if you look, like Johan just explained, the NVIDIA grid, we can now slice up a GPU device to multiple virtual machines. So again, that's again the same discussion, I guess, with data scientists. Okay, what do you need when it comes to GPU performance and GPU capacity, if you will? And how do you size for certain workloads? So yeah, it's interesting topics for sure.
Yeah, and we're having kind of the same conversations that we have, for instance, when customers would like to leverage the power of a platform like Pivotal Container Service or Pivotal Application Service. The developer itself, you know, they just want to push code. But traditionally seen, those silos, those development silos, they bought their own hardware. They bought their own systems. They weren't really aware of the fact that we could build a complete platform as a service on top of vSphere. And it's the same thing all over again with graphical acceleration. So sure, the main use case for graphical acceleration nowadays still is VDI. I would say that 95% of all projects we run that include a GPU is based on VDI. But the true power of a GPU is next to VDI, also from a computational perspective. The thing here is that applications need to be able to leverage the power of the GPU. And I think that is where one of the biggest challenges exists at this moment. Code needs to be able to be executed, for instance, with a CUDA framework or with a TensorFlow framework to offload it to a GPU.
Well, I guess one thing here is thinking back to this, VDI is very time dependent. So, I mean, people generally, unless you've got three shifts at your site, and even follow the sun, you just build farms in other time zones for latency reasons. Are there people that are looking to co-run these workloads? Like typically HPC, big number crunching, it doesn't run next to another general purpose workload. But considering the significant cost of the GPU and all the power overhead of running them, are there people looking at saying, oh, well, not as many people logged in today. It was a holiday. Let's go crunch some numbers or anything like that.
Splitting the resources, are you saying?
That's a great topic. So the project I've been working on for the last 6 to 9 months actually included a mixed environment. So we did an assessment of a complete workplace assessment of the environment. And in the assessment, we found out that the majority of users, over 95% of 2,000 users, are working between 8 and 5. So that's 40 hours a week of resources being used. That also means that for 120 hours a week, those resources were doing nothing. And when continue the discussions with the customer and the talks with the customer, we found out that their data scientists were actually trying to invest money into a new platform, an HPC-based platform, to do a lot of image recognition and image optimization. And we found along the way that that platform could perfectly run on top of a virtualization platform. And so we basically combined those resources. During the night, we basically run their batch workloads. So that's image recognition and image optimization on a really high and large scale. So imagine images of 20, 30 gigs. But during the day, we could also leverage the power of the GPUs to view that data. So imagine like 20 megapixel photos that are being displayed within your VDI session, and you're leveraging the power of the GPUs to do that as well. So both workloads coexist on the same platform. It is pretty important to select the right GPU for the job. Because the Tesla M10, which is the general use GPU for VDI, doesn't have a compute mode. Well, it does have a compute mode, but you're not able to mix them with graphics mode. And the Tesla T4 does do that. So we specifically bought the right hardware for the job. And because of it, we were able to lower the TCO for the customer. And that's, I believe, where the big value is.
Heck yeah! Well, you must have looked like a hero in that situation. I mean, they probably planned on dedicating hardware for both of those different workloads. And you walk in and be like, you're not using it at night. Just do this, and then bing, you're looking like the rock star. Awesome.
Well, and what I really like about that story is it having done consulting is it reminds you why people bring in consultants. Cause a lot of times the IT teams will get siloed and not aware of what, you know, the crazy boys in R&D are up to. And so this is an encouragement, you know, if you're a VDI or virtualization admin, if you've got these other teams, go have lunch with them, find out what they're up to. We can do these cool things, because otherwise you're going to walk in the data center one day and be like, what are these 12 racks doing? Where did my power budget go for this data center?
Or other lesson learned, don't be the guy that bought the wrong GPUs works on one workload.
No, there's something to be said for spending an extra 10% so you can get a little flexibility with your hardware.
That's awesome. Now, is that all listed in the VDI design guide, Johan? Can we learn this in your book?
Partly. So I kind of describe the computational part of VDI, but you probably should look out to a certain VMworld session in the US in the next couple of months.
Oh yeah, I know you guys are definitely going to be presenting. I'm glad, John. We're going to check that one out for sure, and we're going to be actually doing a lot of podcasting at VMworld as well. So we're definitely going to ask for you guys to swing on by. But I know they haven't announced VMworld sessions yet, as far as like to register. But I did hear that you guys did have a session on that. So what's the title of the session?
Yeah, Johan. Wait,
give me a quick something, sec. Something about GPU.
I don't know.
Buzzword. top 10.
Control F Niels.
Let me look it up. Here we go.
This is
top boom.
10 technical deep dive, beta preview. How
many? As a service.
As a service.
Always as a service.
Just search Niels, you'll find it, right?
Yeah, well, I guess so. So the VMworld title is listed in the catalog as How GPU-Assisted Machine Learning for Medical Research Proved to Be a Force for Good.
Nice.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a big use case, right? I mean, like I said earlier in the episode, we've been talking a lot about machine learning. I mean, vSAN uses, parts of machine learning, vSAN Support Insight, Skyline, and VROps. Like, there's so many use cases at VMware that's using, that's really taking advantage of the machine learning and this self-driving data center concept. And that doesn't happen without the GPU, right?
Yeah, that's completely correct. And we do see some other shifts. We talked a lot about imaging, image recognition, et cetera, et cetera. We also see a lot of movement in just calculations based on tabular data, for example. And those might even be processed by a CPU pretty efficiently. And another topic next to the GPU is actually using FPGAs. And that's an all lot of discussion. We won't go into that as well, but we also see a lot of movement in that area as well. So talking about VMworld sessions, I actually have another one with a product manager. And that session is all about the broader spectrum of hardware accelerations, right? Because we now talked about GPU, there's FPGA coming on. We also still have RDMA and persistent memory in there as well, right? So a lot of cool host resources that we can talk about. So awesome stuff.
Oh, yeah. Lots of cool use cases. I'm wondering if they're going to bring in, I did see a video from NVIDIA and VMware talking about how the movie industry is taking advantage of using, is actually recording in 8K, and they can do real-time editing, real-time streaming editing of filming like movies, but using virtual desktop workstations. That's insane.
That is insane. I can only imagine the hardware supporting that platform.
Talking about
costs.
Yeah, so you see a lot of stuff happening in that space. NVIDIA last year on GTC's, they showed a video of one of their newer technologies, real-time ray tracing, and they rendered a Star Wars video real-time and changed the lighting within that video, again, real-time, where now they were able to do that on the spot. Normally, it costs around a couple of hours per frame to do the same thing. Yeah. So that's an example of how a tiny core, which is really good at doing one thing really specific, will increase your productivity, for instance.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That is awesome. So, we're going to leave a lot of links on the show notes of this page, so be sure to check those out. But you guys have really been taking this whole topic by storm. There's a whole series of use cases. There's a deep dive into architecture. There's some great videos out there. There's a nice light board that we talked about. Yeah, man. I think this is a very interesting topic. I'm glad we had a chance to talk about it today. Gentlemen, what's next? Can you share anything about what you guys are going to be doing at VMworld in your session? Is there any updates? I almost felt like you were hinting towards maybe some roadmap topics that we might be able to, you know, steal from your brains today.
Yeah, well, not sure if we're supposed to talk about that, Pete.
Yeah, let me get you fired. You've only been at VMworld how long?
Yeah, I'm still a rookie.
See, that's the right answer. This guy's good. He must have taken the orientation. Don't talk to Pete Fletcher.
Yeah, there was actually a specific slide about you on orientation. No, but like I said, Johan and I are talking about that specific use case and how GPUs help in that platform. I have that other session with Ziv, who is a product manager for everything hardware acceleration related within the cloud platform business unit. So that will be good. And I have another one. I have three sessions. And the other one is totally not related to this, but it's about vMotion and the vMotion process and how that actually works and how we can get the most out of vMotion. So, and that's together with the engineer who spent the last 7 years working on vMotion. So that's interesting as well.
Nice. Sweet. All right, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. John, any closing thoughts before we land this plane?
It's starting to get warm in here. I'm turning this GPU off.
Very nice. All right, well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to Niels and Johan for joining us this week. Catch them at VMworld if you're going to be there. We're back next week, but until then, bye for now.
Enough of this jibber jabber.